afraid about the message tonight. I'm thinking about union leaders who, when a union takes over a company many times and the workers are in a union, it's to get pay up. But sometimes what union leaders do that I don't like is they try to talk workers into not doing their best work. And the reason they give is that you're making the rest of us look bad. We're only going to work at a certain rate, and you are excelling by your efforts above the rest of the pack, and so we want to pull you down so we don't do too much work, you know, because we got our pay set and we got our standards set. But that's not God's way. God's way in the Bible is that He blesses your individual effort. You can do a lot of good when you do your individual effort, and you can also stir up and provoke others when you do the best you can do for the Lord. The Bible says it this way in Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. And sometimes that person that is doing really good provokes us. But that's a good thing. That's a good thing. If it stirs you up, not to compete with somebody else, but stirs you up to be the best you can be. And I want to say that's what you need tonight. And that may make you feel uncomfortable, but if it stirs you up to action, then it's a good thing that this person is doing by not fitting in with the crowd, but going all out for the Lord. And by the way, that's what our church gathering should do. Provoke you unto love and good works. So tonight, I want to gear the message that way, to provoke you, to stir you up. And I don't compare my gifts or my talents to others, but I do tell others who, through their individual soul-winning efforts, you can challenge me to be the best version of myself for the Lord. And I want to challenge you to let that happen in your life in this church. And so with this in mind, would you please turn to 1 Samuel 14 and turn there for tonight's message. And I've entitled the message tonight, Your Individual Initiative Will Make All the Difference. Your Individual Initiative will make all the difference. And I want to say three things about that in 1 Samuel 14. So follow with me. Read verse 1 with me. I'll read it out loud. You follow in your copy of God's Word. It says there in 1 Samuel 14:1, Now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armor, come, and let us go over to the Philistine garrison that is on the other side. But he told not his father. Now they were on one side. There was a valley with a couple rocks in between. And he wanted to go up the cliff to the other plateau on the other side and fight against a Philistine garrison that was there. And I want to just say this about that. Notice it says in verse 14, chapter 14, verse 1, but he told not his father. Notice that? He, Jonathan, told not his father. He was about to do something good. He was about to march on the gates of hell. He was about to attack the enemy, but he didn't say, Dad, can I do this? By the way, I want to say tonight, number one, you don't need permission to decide to make a difference. You don't need permission to decide to make a difference. And number one, you don't need to ask permission because you have in your possession, and the members of this church have, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And I want you to notice in the previous chapter, in chapter 13, verse 19 to 20, it says this, Now there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel. And I like what Al Lacy said about that. I can't ever forget it. He said that doesn't mean there were no people named Smith found throughout the land of Israel. That's talking about no blacksmiths. You remember that, Brother Joe, that message? You were there, right? No blacksmith. And he the reason why there were no blacksmiths allowed, because they make things out of iron and they make weapons out of iron. If Joe Biden had his way, we'd have no guns. If Adolf Hitler had his way, and he did, the German people had no guns, including the Jewish people that he marched off to the concentration camps and shot them and then gave them, gassed them, and all the rest of it. Thank God we still have a Second Amendment in America. There is a right to bear arms. And it's just for that reason, in case a Hitler should come to power. And that's why our founding fathers, or a King George III should come back to power, or a king, whatever. I won't go any further right now. Amen. But I just want to say that's what it said. They didn't want it. And it says, but all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his share and his coulter and his axe and his mattocks. In other words, they weren't allowed to have weapons of war, just garden tools so they could garden. Because the Philistines, the enemies of God's people, didn't want God's people to have weapons. I thank God that the Jewish people now have weapons. They didn't in Hitler's concentration camp. The nation of Israel can defend itself. And I know there's a lot of criticism about that, but when they bomb, they tell people, get out. They bomb in the daylight when they lose most of their soldiers. I know they're saying they're genocidal maniacs, but I disagree with that. And I want to say, when America dropped the bomb in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, then you're genocidal maniac country. I'm just saying that they're warning people, they're telling people, get out of these areas. And I'm saying that when they say Amalek, they're speaking of Hamas. But I don't mean to get sidetracked, but I want to say to you that the people of Israel had traded their weapons of war in for garden tools. And there are a lot of churches today, they've traded their King James Bible, which is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, for a modern translation. You don't have that excuse here. You in this church have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Satan knows how powerful it is. The world can't stand up to it. So we don't have a reason, my friend, not to go out and do like Jonathan did and march on the gates of hell. You need to have a soul winning time. You need to go out soul winning. And you need to be ready to go soul winning. And this is a fact that Jonathan didn't ask anybody permission. By the way, I don't have to ask anybody permission when I go out soul winning, because the Lord Jesus has already told me, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. He said to me, go therefore and give the gospel to all nations. Get them saved. Get them baptized. I don't have to ask permission to do that. I visited up in the hospital, and Destiny was there before her mother passed, and I was up there praying in the room, and I left that room, and I went out and handed out tracts and told people a message that they had, and I gave the gospel to a man as he was waiting for the bus, and he said, I'll be out to your church. I gave him a tract. I didn't have to ask permission from anybody. I didn't have to ask the deacons. I didn't have to ask my mother, amen. I've already got permission from my heavenly Father, but so do you. And so did Jonathan. And it says here in verse 1, but he told not his father. Amen and amen. You could go out soul winning and you won't have to tell anybody, because if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, guess what? People will be coming to Jesus. I believe that. I believe that people that are going out, and you know what? They'll not only come to Jesus, they'll come to church and go down the aisle and they'll get baptized. You'll see it happen. You'll see people join. If you're doing what Jonathan did, you don't have to ask permission. You don't even have to broadcast it. It will happen, and you will see great things happen for God. And so we have the weapon. By the way, Jonathan had the weapon. Saul had the weapon. It says that if you look at 1 Samuel 14 now, look at verse 22. See what it says there in verse 22. It says, likewise, all the men of Israel which had hid themselves in Mount Ephraim when they heard that the Philistines fled. Oh, no, that's the wrong one. I'm looking for the verse that says that everybody had traded in their weapons. But Jonathan and Saul, go to verse 22 of 13. I had the wrong chapter, sorry. It says, so it came to pass in the day of battle, there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any people that were with Saul and Jonathan, but with Saul and with Jonathan, his son, was there found. So they had the weapons. You've got the weapon. What a sad thing it is if we have the King James Bible and we say, oh, we are so much better than modern churches. They don't have the King James Bible and we don't go witness with it. We don't go out soul winning with it. You should go out soul winning, beloved. If we come to prayer meeting and we come to church and we feed on the King James Bible, the Bible says not only feed, but take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and march on the gates of hell with it, and they won't prevail against us. I believe that, and we have the opportunity, and I'm just saying tonight, what the message tonight is, your individual initiative in this matter of soul winning will make all the difference. It did with Jonathan, and it will in our church, it will in our community. Too many people in America are cursing the darkness, but they're not lighting the candle. There's nobody but God's people and those that especially have the King James Bible that can make a difference, but it takes individual initiative. In other words, it's your decision. It's your decision. And Jonathan made that decision, and I thank God for those of you that have made that decision and said, I, as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord by soul winning.
Amen.
That's what Jonathan did. It's just the fact you don't need permission. He didn't need that permission to go out. Jonathan told his armor bearer, he said, come, let us go over to the other side. But he told not his father. Now notice that Israel, at the time this happened, was surrounded by enemies. They were surrounded by the Philistines. Now listen to me. Do you know why they were surrounded by enemies? Do you know why the enemy was attacking them? Listen to this. It says, and Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines that was in Geba, and the Philistines heard of it. 1 Samuel 13, verse number 3. In other words, the Philistines heard about Jonathan. Hey, has Satan heard about you yet? Has his devils heard about you yet? Do they know about Scranton Revival Baptist Church? I believe so. And if we do like Jonathan did, yes, they will hear about us. And that means that we will march on the gates of hell. Your individual initiative will make all the difference. The Bible says that after that happened, here's what it says in verse number 5 of 1 Samuel 13. It says, and the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel. Listen to this. 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and pitched in Michmash eastward from Beth Haven. They came at them with chariots, with soldiers. They wanted to knock them out. Listen, if you punch the devil, he will punch back. That's why Jack Hiles, the First Baptist Church, he had lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit stacked up against him. And he dealt with it through his whole ministry. But he kept going.
Yes.
We've had things happen to us, but we're going to keep going.
Amen.
And I'm just saying to you that when you would do good, evil will come. So how do you overcome evil? With more good.
Yes.
I mean, look at Donald J. Trump. going against the deep state and look at all the attacks, but they can't seem to knock him out. They just tried to fine him almost $500 million, and they had to cut it back. And then, not only that, but his Truth Social hit the market, and he's making upward to $3.5 billion to $9 billion, I've heard. Who knows? I just know this, that you can't stop God's work. You'll not overthrow God's flow. So I'm just saying, but it's your individual effort that makes the difference, your individual initiative that makes the difference, and God wants you to do that and to step out in faith. And I know some people have been doing that, because we had 10 public professions of faith Sunday. We had 6 baptisms. We had 4 new members come in the church. Somebody's got to be doing some individual initiative here in this church. That doesn't just happen by magic. That happens because your individual initiative, like that of Jonathan, will make all the difference. And we believe that you've been attacking the gates of hell, and that is making a difference. Now, we've been getting attacked. We've had a lot of deaths lately. Have you noticed that? We've had a financial attack on our bus ministry. Have you noticed that? Right. We've had attack with sicknesses. Have you noticed that? And that's what happened with Jonathan. He attacked the Philistine garrison, and these Philistines just swarmed around them. And what was Jonathan's answer? He said, well, come, let us go over to the Philistine garrison. That's how it all started. Let's do it again. And guess what? His armor bearer said, yeah, I'm with you, buddy. I'll go with you. I'll go with you.
Amen.
And do you think that Satan sees our 3 bus routes and now a 4th bus route? Do you think Satan sees the Thursday night soul winning crowd and what's going on there? Do you think Satan sees the mission conference and people that have made commitments to give the tithes and the offering? I think that he does. And the answer is what Jonathan said. Do more good. Attack the gates of hell. And God will bless you. And we've had some hits. Our bus price was raised from $125 to $260 per bus per day. Death started with Jose Tatis getting right with God and being here. And he got shot. He was going to get married on Friday. Charlene is here tonight. I'm praying for her. Diane Payone, very sick. She's been a tremendous example of individual initiative and soul winning. Yeah, you're going to need the armor of God. And how did the Israelites respond to that counterattack? Well, look at chapter 13, verse 6 and 7. Let's see how they responded. After Jonathan did his thing, the Philistines did their thing. Now let's see how Israel under Saul responded. Look at verse 6 of chapter 13. It said, when the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, then the people did what? Hide themselves in caves and thickets and rocks and in high places and pits. You know what? I believe a lot of Christians are hiding themselves in the comforts of their homes. Hiding themselves in the TV room and hiding themselves away when it comes to warfare. You know, we are a family of God. Thank God for that. But we are an army of God. We're to endure hardness as good soldiers of the cross of Jesus Christ. And we're to march on the gates of hell. And I hear people say, well, I'm older, I can't do it. Well, listen to me, when I can't cut the mustard, I'll get out. But I tell you what, I feel like Caleb. I'm as strong now as I was when I was 40. I mean that. And if I've got that strength, man, I'm going to use it. I'm not going to hide out and sit out and all of that. I'm going to do that. And serve God. And I challenge you tonight, you don't need my permission or anybody's permission to make a difference.
Amen.
by soul winning. You can do that. And we've had these attacks, and the Israelites, it said, how did they respond in verse 6? They were hiding them. Look at verse 7, it says, chapter 13. And some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. What does that sound like? Not only hiding themselves, but they left. Hey, you ever see people leave the church?
Right.
Leave the ministry? Get away from it? Listen, that's not God's answer. Hide yourself while you're here. Run away and just get away. Thank God for Marlene Tolly. She's here tonight. And when Ralph passed to heaven, she didn't just hide out. She started coming out. And she's been coming out to soul winning even.
Amen.
I'm just saying, and some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal. And all the people followed him trembling. So some people were hiding, some people were straying, and some people were just standing there trembling.
Okay, nothing we could do. It's just so bad around us.
You know, there are so many people that are cursing the darkness today when they could be lighting a candle. I believe that's what God is saying to us this year in these perilous times, in these challenging times. We hear about the red heifer, we hear about the solar eclipse, and that's just an excuse for the deep state to try during the election, I believe, to do some kind of martial law. They're doing a drill for it, using the eclipse. They've never done this before during an eclipse. We've had many solar eclipses. And I'm just saying, be aware and don't let anything stop you from your individual initiative to decide, I'm going to go soul winning, I'm gonna make a difference, preacher, I'm going to take it and I'm going to do it. And that's the first thing I think we need to see. Your individual initiative will make all the difference, and you don't need permission to make a difference. Number two, you don't need procrastination to make a difference. Look at verse number 2. It says, and Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron. And the people that were with him were about 600 men. Now, pomegranates are really healthy. You want to eat pomegranates. How many of you eat pomegranates? They're really healthy. They're good for, especially the pomegranate seeds. My son, he's got a medical doctor license. He tells me the pomegranate seeds are really good. And you could take pomegranate. That's real healthy. By the way, when it comes to health and vitamins, I'm almost an expert. You know, I know all about it. But Saul. King Saul, he is hiding under a pomegranate tree. And I don't know if he's eating the pomegranates and he's trying to get healthy or what, but there's a battle out there. And he is not doing anything. He is over the army. He has 600 men with him. He is sitting there doing nothing. God help us for do-nothing preachers.
Right.
The reason why Brother Z and I went to this conference out in Oklahoma, which is an hour before us right now, is it?
Yeah.
It's an hour earlier. The reason why we went out there to Oklahoma and took Brother Matt is because the preacher out there is not doing like Saul. He is marching on the gates of hell.
Amen.
Now, he's a busy man. He's got a growing church. That church has tripled, I think, since he's been there. He's a busy man, and he has sermons to write, funerals to all of these things, teach and preach, a lot of stuff. So you know what he does? He gets up at 4:30 every morning. And Brother Z, are you doing that now? Yeah, Brother Z is doing that now. But he told me he's even getting up earlier than that preacher, because that preacher in Oklahoma is what? Getting up at?
He's an hour behind him.
He's an hour behind him. So he's beating him. But I'm just saying that the word diligent means to be up early at a task. And your individual initiative can make a difference, but you're not going to get it by procrastinating on doing what God wants you to do. And I want you to notice in the very next verse, look at verse 3, it says, and Ahiah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh wearing an ephod, and the people knew not that Jonathan was gone. Now listen, these people didn't even know what Jonathan was doing. They were standing around the king doing basically nothing. And they were in the army. And here you have the great grandson of Eli, the priest. Remember Eli? He was doing nothing for God. And he was chasing to God. And here's his great grandson, and he's not doing anything. I mean, Saul could have gone to him. He wore an ephod. You know what's in the ephod? The Urim and the Thummim. You know what they got from the Urim and Thummim? A green light to attack the enemy if God said he could do it. I don't even see Saul consulting with the priest about that. And it reminds me of Eli, and it reminds me of a lot of corrupt preachers that get paid a lot of money and they're not doing anything for God. And I'm just saying they ought to quit the ministry and make an honest living. And we as a church, man, we want to do more for God. And it's your individual initiative that makes all the difference. I can remember preaching a message called, I don't want Scranton Revival Baptist Church to be called Ichabod Baptist Church. And you say, Pastor, why did you preach that message? Because deacons, instead of going out soul winning, were arguing for their Christian liberty and saying we can drink alcoholic beverages. And they were trying to drink wine and alcoholic beverages. And, we have our Christian liberty. We can go dance and go out to dances and things like that. All in the name of Christian liberty. And I remember another set of deacons, again, and they were wanting to run the church and be the big shots in the church. But they didn't want to build the church. It was long business meetings and short prayer meetings type thing. And you know that when you get into that, my friend, you get into backsliding. And I preached another message, and it was called Those That Run the Church Ought to Build the Church. And I remember preaching that message from Nehemiah 3. And I was preaching that message about those that run the church ought to build the church. And I must have threw a stone in a hen house because I heard, quack, 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 quack. And then I started hearing this. My wife said, those are the tom-toms. Can you hear them beating, Pastor? And I said, yes, I hear them beating. She said, they're getting ready to try to get rid of you. Again, this is the second time. And I said, well, maybe they will, maybe they won't. But what I said is true. The nobles put not their necks to the work. I wouldn't have a youth pastor that wasn't a soul winner, and he is. I wouldn't want to be a pastor that's not an aggressive soul winner. I wouldn't want to have a deacon that wouldn't want to be an aggressive soul winner and is ready to do the work of God. I'm saying that your individual initiative makes a difference. And if a deacon doesn't do it or a pastor doesn't do it, you can still do it. But thank God when you get the encouragement to do it. And don't try to kill him when he tells you that. And so you see, Jonathan in verse 1, he said to his armor bearer, come on, let's go out there and see what the Lord will do with us. You know, he encouraged him to go out there, and the armor bearer went with him. And thank God for that, you know. But so many people procrastinate like Saul. Alan Domeley, the pastor out in Oklahoma, he had a Sunday, I think it was called Round To It Sunday. Have you ever heard of that? Round To It Sunday? He had a Round To It Sunday. And Brother Joe, you know what they did on Round To It Sunday? They made a dowel, a Round To It. Looked like a wooden donut, and they gave him the Round To Its. In other words, when are you going to get a Round To It? When am I going to go out soul winning and get around to it? And they had that opportunity to do that. And so, you know what? I've been preaching on reaching our Jerusalem from Tunkhannock to Moscow, from Carbondale to Wilkes-Barre. And I like it that our youth pastor came up to me and said, Pastor, I'd like to start a bus route in Wilkes-Barre. Praise God for that. No procrastination there. I'm going to do it. And then, thank God, he got an armor bearer that said, hey, I know you're driving bus on Sunday. I'll go with you on Saturday, and I'll drive the van for you on Sunday and pick people up. And that's Deacon Steve Gary. Thank God for that. It reminds me of Jonathan here. And that's what we ought to have. You know, just last night, I came to Sons of the Prophets Baptist College. I led in prayer to get started for our classes. And guess what? The computer wasn't working properly. It was shut down. It needed to be renewed. So we couldn't have class last night. But guess what? Matthew said, Pastor, I'll go out with you and visit. And Brother Jose said, I'll go out, Brother Z, and make visits up here in Bangor. And Brother Jose, who's downstairs right now, he said he signed up 4 new families for his bus ministry. See, we make excuses, but the harvest is plenteous. The laborers are few. Your individual initiative makes all the difference. And I believe that God is stirring us up, but no, Saul and his men were procrastinating. There are a lot of churches like that. In fact, I remember years ago when I came up from Florida, we went out soul winning every week. We went out once a week, but still I went in 1986 to First Baptist Church, and I saw soul winning on steroids. I saw every day they were baptizing people. For all the pastors were there, and they were sending out their soul winners while we were there at the conference. And they had this big glass baptistry right up front there with a cross, top of the crosses. And we're sitting out there, and they say, oh, we got to stop the lecture now. We got to stop it. We got another baptism. And they baptized somebody else. And they did it all week. By the time that week came to an end, when they gave the invitation to be a soul winner, I came right down front there and got to, I said, Lord, and I'll tell you what, the Holy Spirit filled me. And I came back in 86, and we saw from 86 to 96 growth like we had not seen. And it was wonderful what God was doing. And I believe that we need to get rid of our procrastination. I remember somewhere in that time, there was an evangelist. His name was Frank Poling. Do you remember Frank Poling, Joel? Maybe not. We were in the Green Ridge building. He came and he preached. Frank Poling. He was just a little evangelist, not a big name. And he preached and he talked about a church that just keeps dinging along until the rapture. And so many churches are like that. Right. I decided I don't want to be a procrastinating pastor. I don't want to be a procrastinating soul. I started preaching messages like, don't wait, do it today. And I came back in 86 and I was on fire. I believe some of you tonight, you're here tonight. And God says, your individual initiative will make all the difference. You don't need permission to do what God wants you to do. Do it. You don't need procrastination to make a difference. Do it. Don't wait. And lastly, you do have providential encouragements to make a difference. Notice what it says here in chapter 14, verse 6 through 10. It says, and Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. He said, it may be that the Lord will work for us. Amen and amen. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For there is no restraint to the Lord to save by what? Many or by few. One with God is a majority. If you have that initiative, that individual initiative to trust God and go, he'll go with you. That's what Jonathan said. And his armor bearer said to him, do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee. Behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. See, that's the problem. We got heart problems. Amen? We got heart problems. If our hearts were right with God, more people would say, yeah, I want to join with you. Christianity is not just taught. It is what? Caught. It is caught. And so that's what the armor bearer said. And notice what Jonathan said in verse 8. Then said Jonathan, behold, we'll pass over unto these men, and we'll discover ourselves unto them. If they say unto us, tarry here until we come to you, then we'll stand still in our place and we'll not go up unto them. But if they say thus, come up unto us, then we will go up, for the Lord hath delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign unto us. Remember Gideon? You know what? I believe when you go with the gospel, God gives you providential encouragements. Little signs along the way to encourage you along. You have to be going to see it, though. If you just procrastinate, if you just stand or up and don't do anything, if you just sit on your blessed assurance, you don't see those encouragement. Right. You don't see those signs. Now, they didn't bring anybody last Sunday, right?
No.
But Brother Z was telling me signs, things that God was doing down at Wilkes-Barre, and I believe that thing's going to explode. I believe they'll fill a van soon. I believe they'll fill a bus soon. I know how that works, beloved. But you won't see it if you're not going out there. And that's what Jonathan said. He said, okay, if they, by the way, they did say, come on up. And Jonathan went up there, just he and his armor bearer, and they just started killing these Philistines. Man, one right after the other. They just marched right through it. Oh, beloved, God wants to work, but he says your individual initiative, like that of Jonathan, makes all the difference. That's why Jonathan loved David so much. You understand that? They were kindred hearts. They had the same heartbeat. You see, David, he saw Saul doing nothing. He saw his soldiers doing nothing. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of? Listen, faith will make you uncomfortable. And David went out there and he made those people feel uncomfortable by his individual initiative, but Jonathan loved him. His heart went right out to him. My wife said to me when she heard me speak, I had that same heart, and her heart went out to me. We had a kiss of hearts before our lips ever came together. And that's what we need today, a kiss of hearts. And we need that individual initiative. And that was there. I think about how you get that providential encouragement when you're going out. I think about Matt, his bus route. And Matt knows and Kyle knows there was a lady named Marquet, was a tenant of mine up in my house. She rented from us, and we knew her two boys. And she's gone through a lot of bad things. And she hasn't been living up there, lost track of her, saw her from time to time, not good for what going on in her life. And then I just got a text from her, random. She goes, Pastor, I would like to send my boys to church, like to get them on the bus. So I told Matt, and Matt visited, and then there was some problem with her ex-husband that wouldn't send the boys, and she had hindrance, and so we just kept going on Saturday bus ministry and doing our part, and Matt doing his part. But then, you know what? I went out on a Thursday night with Steve and Brenda, Steve Manning and Brenda. And we were going out. We were just at a visit, and nobody was home. So we left, and we were going back to the car, and Brenda said, hey, what about these two people walking down the road? How about them? I said, okay. So we started walking toward them, had no plan at all, and it's a mother and a child, and we talked to them and led them both to Christ. Do you know they were here Sunday? At least the child was here, and he got baptized. And the interesting thing was, I followed it up this past Saturday to talk to the mother and the son and invite them out on bus ministry on Matt's route. I knock it on the door, and another boy comes to the door. His name is Mason. Mason. And he's the brother of Carter. Now, I didn't give him the gospel. I was going. I said, Mason, here's our thing this Sunday. And I showed him the Palm Sundays. You know, he said, I'll come. He wanted to come. You know, wanted to get that. He came out, and Brother Matt, you led him to the Lord. And the reason he led him to the Lord, get this. Saturday, I went over to visit Marquet again, this lady that was our tenant. Come to find out, Marquet is the sister of this lady on Thursday that we led to the Lord. And that boy Carter I led to the Lord is her nephew. I went over there. Marquet wasn't home, but Ray was there, the guy that lives there with her. He was there, and I gave him the gospel. He said, I'll come out. He and Marquet came out. Both got saved, baptized. And Marquet was telling Matt,
right there,
lead Mason to the Lord. He needs the Lord. And Matt gave Mason the gospel. And Mason got saved and baptized. So you had the two brothers, the aunt's fiance, all this last Sunday. Tell me that God is not giving signs of providential encouragement. That makes a difference. And I, for one, intend to do what Charlie Ware said, our former pastor. You know what he said? He said, when God is working, I'm going to be right here on the front row watching what the Lord is doing. I'm not going to find out about it hiding out somewhere. I'm not going to find out about it and retiring and going out with people with varicose veins and pushing shuffleboards. I'm not going to do that. I don't want to do that. I'll go to heaven when I get that. And I don't want to just stand here trembling and worried about what's going on around us. So I'm just saying tonight that your individual initiative will make all the difference. You don't need permission to decide to make a difference. Jesus has already given you permission. You don't need procrastination. That won't help you make a difference. And you do have providential encouragement promised to you when you go out so that you can make a difference. The question tonight is, will you decide to make that difference? Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed, talking to each one.